Testing 1 2 3 1 2 3 1 2 3. Testing 1 2 1 2. So what is this, man? This is a D-Day thing. Overlord. That's the name of this movie I'm looking at. It's a black and white from 1975, but it has a bunch of documentary. It's not stock footage. It's documentary footage, but it's intercut with actual actors, and it's the mind of one soldier from D-Day forward. You know, and I got this look on my face now. It's very serious. I don't know. Or is it told from the German point of view? Are these Germans? Fuck, I don't fucking know. I saw this on a, it was being promoted. 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8. Dr. John the Night Tripper is no more. He's passed on. He's gone off into the, boy, it's funny because I just saw a, I was just rewatching a video that I saw for the first time on a plane, as I told you, I think. Getting on an aircraft, getting on a plane in Atlanta. Was I in Atlanta? Yeah, getting on a plane in Atlanta and heading toward Las Vegas in 92, yeah. So I was flying to Phoenix, and I was going to take a connector to Vegas for the old boot tournament, my my golf tournament with my buds. That was in 92. Anyway, I see this music video. It's Frosty the Snowman, sung by Leon Redbone. And what the fuck is this? Sung by Leon Redbone. And
I'm just trying to explain, but it's very difficult.
All right, so tell us about your... You said you had a bum trip. Why?
And when you say a bummer, you weren't thinking about hurting yourself.
No, I wasn't thinking about hurting
myself. Are we doing Vernon this... You know, next week is the...
Look inside my own ear, and I was just... It was bumming me out because I felt on...
I tried to look inside my own ear.
Down on the LSD?
Yeah, man, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, try to keep up with you, Dickman. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You're trying to look in your own ear.
For the third time, yes, well, I was trying to look into my own ear, okay?
Well, that's some kind of a nutball thing, isn't it?
Wait a minute, man.
I was on LSD. Does that kind of ring a bell? Maybe that'll help you out.
All right, coach.
I'm just trying to explain, but it's very difficult.
All right, so tell us about your... You said you had a bum trip. Why?
And when you say a bummer, you weren't thinking about hurting yourself.
No, I wasn't thinking about hurting my... I was... trying to look inside my own ear, and I was just, it was bumming me out because I felt
down with your own ear? Down on the LSD?
Yeah, man, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, try to keep up with you, Dickman. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You're trying to look in your own ear.
For the third time, yes, I was trying to look into my own ear, okay?
Well, that's some kind of a nutball thing, isn't it?
I was on LSD. Does that kind of ring a bell? Maybe that'll help you out.
All right, coach, God. No, we understand, coach.
All right, I mean, if you take LSD, you're going to do... I wanted to try to scratch... You don't understand, I was trying to scratch the inside of my elbow with that hand on that arm. So the elbow, the interior of the elbow, I was trying to scratch that with that hand. I was trying to bend my hand all... You don't even... What is so funny?
Well, I think Phil...
No, I want to ask Phil, what's so funny?
Well, I mean, I don't know. So this was the bummer trip.
Yeah, this was the bummer trip. Okay, I don't know, Phil, if you... don't tell me, but I don't know if anybody there has taken LSD. I don't want to know.
I have.
Would you shut up? He said he didn't want to know.
I don't want to know.
When did you take LSD?
Oh, LSD. No, I never have.
Well, what do you think I was saying?
I thought you were talking about something else.
Like what?
I don't know, like LED or something?
What is he talking about?
What do you mean, bud?
I'm talking about, have you ever bought the LED lights?
Bud, I'm going to kick your ass if you do it again.
What?
You're doing it on purpose, and we know that.
Anyway, so I took this LSD at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember they said to just sit down. Do you want to hear some music? And I said, yeah. And at the time, I think the Moody Blues was a big band. So I said, put on some of the Booty Blues or the Booty Blues or something. And I kept getting it wrong because the acid was coming on, right?
So you're starting to trip.
I started to trip.
What'd you call him?
I said, why don't you put on the Booty Blues or something? And they go, what? And I said, put on the Booty Blues. And I started laughing, and then I tried to look into my own ears to find the answer. And then I felt the inside of my elbow, like I said, down the interior of my arm was itching, so I tried to scratch it with that hand. And I was trying to bend the hand down. It's hard to explain, and it sounds ridiculous now, but I had very, very specific reasons for wanting to scratch my elbow with that same hand and to look into my ear to find the answer of the Booty Blues.
But the name of the band was the Booty Blues.
The name of the band was the Booty Blues.
Oh, cool. cool way to end it. Well, there you go. Yes, I'm chewing bubble gum. I'm sorry. It's rude.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We are very, very happy to have Raj Faneen with us.
What?
And it's been a long time, Raj, since we talked to you. And
goddamn motherfuckers. It's getting to the point now where I my other income from voiceover, from a lot of stuff, this website, as much as I love you subscribers, my listeners and everything, the business end of this website, it's beginning to not even be worth it. I mean, radio, to be honest with you, I loved radio. I grew up loving radio. I always wanted to do radio, but it's never, ever been anywhere near the joy for me that I thought it would be in it. And to be honest with you, what I made from it monetarily isn't even fucking close to what I put into it. The energy and the time and the sweat, fucking not even goddamn close. And the reason is, it's just not an industry that gives a shit about content or talent or anything like that. They care about one thing. They want to make money, and they cannot stand the idea of talent. It's something they deal with like it's a necessary evil. And this is typical of radio, is this quote, which was as recently as like 20 years ago. I don't talk to agents. Masters said that. That asshole that I worked for in Medford. I don't talk to agents. I think he said that one of those fucking clowns. Right, they all, well, everybody else talks to agents. What makes you guys special? Well, the reason why they don't is because radio guys are beneath them. You know, they can't believe that we're making the money we're making. They can't believe we get all the pussy and they don't. They can't believe, you know, all that shit. And so you go into radio, with a rare exception, executive people, management people cannot fucking stand you, man. And they, you know, they smile in your face, but they can't stand paying you. They can't stand any of the power that you do kind of accrue as being talent. It really bugs them. Unless they've got you doing exactly what they want you to do. If you're not a maverick, if you're like doing exactly what the boss says. That's why there's some talent that, you know, are the fair-haired boys. Because management has it in their mind, they wouldn't be anything without me, you know. I would have loved to have had a mentor. And I've had some good teachers, but I never had anybody that said, I know exactly what to do with Phil Henry. I would have loved to have had that, but I never did. Every single management executive type person that I ever met never rose really to that, never met that challenge. They were all people that either sort of got what I did and kind of understood what maybe possibly could be done with it, or I was a necessary evil. They didn't get it. They didn't even like it, but hey, fuck, you know, we should hire this guy because after all, people like him, you know. And now, 6 years after I've left the radio business, it's increasingly obvious to me that the whole idea of getting in here and creating content every day and running this fucking business myself, is just, there's way easier ways to make a fucking living. There just are. This shit is not fucking easy, man. And it's, but I had to do it. What keeps me in this is the belief that I have talent in this area, whatever you want to call this, audio comedy, you know, that I have talent in the area of the broadcasting, whether it's on the internet or whether it's on radio, doesn't matter to me. And that a bunch of fucking clowns that ran the radio business right into the sewer are not going to keep me from doing it. It's a pride thing. It's just pride, man. It's got nothing to do with dough. I'm sorry, I'm chewing the gum. I'll stop. But Jesus H. fucking Christ. The culture that's fostered around starting with radio and then on into whatever you call this, podcasting, whatever. It's a culture of low expectation, really shit money, and to be honest with you, not a very good work ethic. I mean, I work my fucking ass off. I work harder than anybody I've ever met in this business. I work harder than anybody I've ever met. I know a lot of people work hard. Believe me, don't get me wrong, but I work harder than any of them. I work harder than any of them, and it ain't been worth it. I mean, I like what I've done. I like what I've created. And someday, I think, you know, someone will take what I did and maybe present it the way it ought to be presented. But I don't think it has been. And I think that what I've created, the potential of it is still kind of just sitting there. I don't think it's been, you know, tapped into. So, you know, people keep saying to me, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just retire? for the very reasons I gave you guys. Because I know, you know, because just out of pride, I want to keep doing this because I know I'm better than just about anybody. I mean, not I don't mean that, you know, in the sense that people suck or anything. I just, there isn't anything I hear anybody doing that I am all that blown away by. And now, if you put the radio on, see, some people think it's because I'm against right-wingers. It's got nothing to do with a right-winger. Christ, I think that, I thought Rush Limbaugh, when he first started his first few years, was one of the most brilliant broadcasters I ever heard. He was a right-winger, but that didn't matter. I mean, it mattered about the content and presentation. And when I was in favor of the Iraq War, but I would listen to people like Randy Rhodes and Stephanie Miller because I liked their presentation. I didn't, you know, I was kind of a 9/11 Democrat, but who gives a fuck, you know? People's opinions change. But it had nothing to do really with the content. It had to do with presentation. What passes for radio now is there's no presentation. Now there's nobody that's doing anything that's the least bit inventive. And it's exactly the way the radio industry has always wanted it. They wanted manageable, safe talent. And that's what they got with Hannity, with the Medved, with whoever. I don't know who these guys, Mark Levin. Mark Levin is a horrific broadcast. Now, I understand he's making money because they're on the AM band. There's a whole bunch of old fucking wrinkled up white people that want to listen to that shit. And they're willing to, you know, and then they listen in big enough numbers whereby, same thing with Fox, you know. There's a bunch of fucking pruned out motherfuckers watching that shit. Bunch of white people, you know. But the future ain't there. Anyway, I digress. I'm doing a lot of fucking talking about nothing. But some days when you're really lucky, you tune into one of these pre-shows and you hear a whole bunch of really heavy shit. Heavy shit, man. Oh, man. This all fucking started Monday night. I didn't get any fucking sleep. I had a meeting all Tuesday afternoon. And the whole week has just been kind of trying to catch up with shit. Let's see. Don Berman has scored an interview with President Trump. We got to get Don on the air tonight. Mythic? What? What the hell is that? People that don't use their own picture for an avatar, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, I'm suspicious of them. No matter how funny the picture is, I'm very suspicious of people that can't show their own. And I don't care if you've had an accident, you know, and maybe your face doesn't look great. I would rather see that. Seriously, I would rather see that. Or if you were born with a deformity, whatever. I mean, I'd rather see what somebody really looks like than a... unless, of course, you know, I mean, it's so bad. But the fact is that some people just would rather show a fanciful view of themselves. And I just, you know, I don't know why. That's something else that bugs me. Like these people that use, generally, I've always been able to figure this out. Maybe it's a sense I have. Maybe I'm just really smart. But I'm always right. I'm always fucking right. About 70% of the time when I see somebody using a cartoon character for an avatar on Facebook or on Twitter, that person's disabled. They're disabled in some way. It could be a debilitating alcoholism, drug addiction, or generally it's like they're disabled. They have some crippling disease of some kind. They're in a wheelchair. I'm almost always right. How do I know? Because sometimes I'll challenge people who are talking to me, and generally those people are hostile. Seriously. I mean, not all the time, but generally they can be very, very hostile because you got something they don't have. You represent something they want. They think you're something that they want to be. Whatever it is, they don't know their fucking ass from a hole in the ground. They don't know anything about you, but they're going to go ahead and go off and be stupid the way they probably always have been. Maybe that's what got them in a fucking wheelchair in the first place. Who knows? And they'll assume a lot of shit. And so you almost always wind up in contention with them. And I always wind up saying to them, look, just because you're disabled. And they always come back and say, okay, well, let's say that I am. Let's say I am disabled. Let's say that I'm. That's when I always, like, I don't answer back. I just leave them hanging. Because I'm a cruel motherfucker. But I was just looking at one of these. There's somebody here, Crazy Myra. Who's Crazy Myra? Well, we'll never know. The avatar she uses is a picture of Julie Christie, a 1960s version of Julie Christie, which means that this woman is probably around my age, in her 60s at least. Doesn't look like Julie Christie, not in the 60s anyway. Let me see here. Thanks, Baker, and both. Thanks, Jeff, for the Seymour's hot air balloon ride. I don't know, man. Let me see something here, man. I've got, how much time have I got here? Oh, good. Hey, the Blues won, man. They're three games to two. That's beautiful, man. All right, dude, let's see. Come on, bitch. Come on. How often do they send you a fucking gas bill? Seems like I'm getting a gas bill every month. Or every month. Yeah, I should get a gas bill. Seems like I'm getting them one, once a week. What is this? I'm telling you, man, I got to get another accountant. I just do. My business gets more complex. I've got an accountant that doesn't make it any easier understanding a goddamn thing of what's happening, you know, and I'm the kind of guy, I need all kinds of fucking customer service when it comes to that shit. I don't understand a motherfucking thing these people say to me or send to me or want me to sign or whatever. Or why shit's not done and then I got at the last minute, I got to get all kinds of stuff done and they don't. I got an audition on Monday. At what time, man? What time's the fucking audition, man? It's at, please don't make it early in the fucking morning, man. What time is the motherfucking audition? Wow. 12:15, okay. Is this, I wonder if I know these folks. Okay, cool, groovy, I can do it. I can do anything, man. I can do fucking anything they want me to do. Anything, man. Okay, why is this thing busted now, man, huh? Why is this motherfucking thing broken? Why is it not fucking moving? Why is this motherfucker that I rely on so I can use this goddamn fucking thing not fucking working? Oh, man, come on, motherfucker. Well, I can't fucking do the show without using both computers, so sorry. Folks, if I got to fucking shit can this show, or I'll just do a goddamn whatever. I don't know what. Motherfucker. Okay, this fucking piece of shit's broken, man. What is this thing called anyway, man? This is called a, okay, so this 4-port USB shared network clicker thing is fucking broken. All right, we'll just do a fucking fill only tonight, I guess. I don't know, it'll sound like shit. God damn it, I got a fucking, where do I buy, look at, now what, man? Now it's like done, now it's working. God damn it. Now it's not working. Now it is working. Now it's intermittent. Now what are we doing here, man? Look at this fucking goddamn piece of shit. Motherfucking piece of shit. Fuck all you assholes that make shit equipment. All you motherfuckers out there that make shit equipment, fuck you, man. Do something else for a living, will you? And you know what? I'm easy on this shit. As equipment goes, I'm pretty easy on it. What, you know, click, click, click. I mean, what does it take, you know? Is that too much? Is a little too much of a strain? Fuck, you know. Man, look at this. It's a really shitty and badly designed piece of equipment. It's got a little clicker thing on the top, which if you don't hit it at the exact right spot when it begins to, when it starts to go bad, it won't respond. So it's increasingly you have to find that sweet spot until finally the thing doesn't respond at all. What are we doing now, man? Okay, we're doing this. Okay, man, so let's go, dude. What's taking so fucking long for this piece of shit battery to respond? Man. Well, I tell you what, man, I ain't paying for another one of these things. They're going to fix this piece of shit. Spend 20 grand getting this motherfucking studio up to speed. More than 20 G's. Fucking pushing 35. $35,000 to get this fucking piece of shit up to speed, man. And, you know, this is not a sophisticated studio as they go. We're not asking for multi-track recording capabilities. We're just asking for responsive software and, well, I am anyway, and an ease of use, reliability, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Don Berman here, Phil, and, yeah? Well, what about it? Where's the goddamn, here it is. This is not it, man. Where's the fucking newsroom? Huh? Over the hills we go. Newsroom busy. Phone. That's it right there. Okay. And come on, man. If I got to do that, it's just not going to be worth it, man.
Reacquainted.
A load of old turds. This is a bag of turds that I would just as soon set on fire and throw on your front porch, Doctor.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a very classy thing.
Well, what you're selling the American male is not right.
Bob Green is a living example of how this man, he has a hair system, and he was doing this. He had just had his hair...
Now, what is this? Where is the goddamn thing as it is being recorded now? 35 fucking minutes with a pre-show, huh? Great. Don Berman joining us. Don, where's the phone, Don? Where you been, Don? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Phil. Listening to you. Oh, my God. Listen, this is a big moment. An interview with President Donald Trump is not something that is, I'll tell you, it's not an everyday thing.
It's not, no. And I saw where you said this is the very first local TV interview?
This is the first local television interview, yes, that's been given to President Donald Trump.
All right, ma'am. So what I'm thinking of doing is I can mute that. Okay, that's a groovy thing. And then what I do here is do this. The name of this song is Fuck Ted Danzig. It's by Apache Turnout or Turncat. What the fuck is the name of this group? Tomcat. The Tomcats. That's a good name for a football team, isn't it? The LA Tomcats? No, that's like, well, they sound like they're just scrawny alley cats. Listen, sports fans, don't fuck with me because I'm here to tell you.